Good morning. Count it a privilege to be able to be here. I just pray God will use me to speak freely. I'd like to have, in case you don't know, I'm an elementary teacher. I'm not sure if they had Amy play, just to make me feel more comfortable since she's an elementary student. But I think it's helped out. I'd like to have you do me two favors. The first one, since I teach elementary kids, I'm going to be looking at you as kids. I think I've said that before. I'd like to have you try to look like elementary kids. The second favor is don't act like them. Amy, that's no insult to you. This morning, I'd like to share with you I call it a spiritual principle, and it's called back to the drawing board. I think when you hear that word, back to the drawing board, it draws something to your mind, as if something didn't go quite right, and you had to go back to the drawing board to get it worked out right. It sounds kind of simple, but it's like reading directions. You need to do it. All right. Now, what happens when something goes wrong? Most of the time, you have to go back, figure out what it was, work on it, and do it right. Right? And that's what we want to do. Let's have a word of prayer here before we go any further. Lord Jesus, we just thank and praise you for your love and goodness. We thank you for the opportunity and privilege we have to share your word with one another. We pray that you would use me as a vessel, Father, clean, that you might be able to speak freely and prepare their hearts as well as mine, Father, to hear your word and to apply it in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I also this morning, as we go along, I'm going to read several verses, so you may want to jot those down, or if you have quick fingers, maybe you can speed through and read them along with me. The scripture I'd like to share with this morning to start off with is out of 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians 1, or excuse me, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. I'm reading these verses out of an Amplified Bible, so if it sounds a little bit different, don't be dismayed. It says, however, brethren, I could not talk to you as to spiritual men, but as to non-spiritual men of the flesh, in whom the carnal nature predominates, as to mere infants in the new life in Christ, unable to talk yet. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not yet strong enough to be ready for it. But even yet, you are not strong enough to be ready for it. For you are still unspiritual, having the nature of the flesh, under the control of ordinary impulses. For as long as there are envying and jealousy and wrangling and factions among you, are you not unspiritual and of the flesh, behaving yourselves after a human standard and not like mere unchanged men? What I'd like to draw out of that is, as Paul speaks here, he wanted to talk to them as spiritual men, but he couldn't. He wanted to feed them solid food, meat, but he couldn't do that. He referred to them as people of the flesh that were controlled by ordinary impulses, but he wanted to refer to them as spiritual people who were controlled by impulses of the Spirit. Something was wrong somewhere. So at that point, and as we'll make that point many times throughout the service this morning, at that point, when we see something should be and it's not, we need to go back to the drawing board. I'd like to share an example at school, that some of the things that may happen at school, and we're going to take that comparison and try to compare it to our spiritual lives. I'm sure that you all had math in school, and I'm sure that you all learned the times tables. 2 times 2, 2 times 3, 2 times 4, and so on. Now, you may have done that by rote memory. You may have done it with your parents sitting at the table, and you know, you don't go to bed until you learn them, or you don't eat till you learn them, or you know, you lose recesses to learn them. You know, but you know, we know that that's something that we need to learn. Well, let's just take an example at school. One of my students has a hard time with their multiplication tables. So now, as soon as through a test I find that out, I have to start to think something's wrong somewhere, because at that point in time in their life, almost without exception, they should know their times tables by that point. Now, if they don't, something's wrong somewhere. Where do I need to go? Back to my drawing board. Why doesn't he know that? Or why doesn't she know that? Does she not know her times tables? Maybe she doesn't understand the process of how that works. Maybe he's lazy. Maybe he's rebellious. Maybe he just doesn't know how to add, so therefore he can't multiply. Can be a numerous of things wrong, but what takes, it takes time and it takes process to go back and start to look. Just can't sit at my desk and go, geez, that's too bad. Bobby doesn't know. Maybe he'll catch him up next year. I have to go back. I have to go back and see what's wrong. We go back, look at that area, and say he just hasn't spent the time at it. Say he's been lazy. So what we do is start to provide time for him to be able to do that. As we do that, we work on it, we keep a special eye on it now. We don't stop all school and just focus in on Bobby's times tables, because there's a thousand other things going on during school day. But we keep a little special eye on that. And as we do, we kind of monitor that, we encourage him, and as we work along, before too awful long, Bobby starts to learn his times tables, and pretty soon that's no longer a problem. We're away from the drawing board. We're back out working on other math, and we're on our way. Now, I don't mean to disillusion you to say that, well, geez, it's always that easy. You know, some of you have been school teachers here before. You know, if it was that easy, it'd be wonderful. But it's not. You want to do this sometimes, you know. Geez, that didn't work, you know. Be nice every time I saw a problem and I could identify a problem. You go back and 5 minutes later you have the answer and you have the solution and you work it out and bango, it's done. It doesn't work that way though. Sometimes it does, but it's not always easy. You might have to go back to that drawing board time after time after time again, but as you do time and time again, pretty soon you have the answer to that. Now, if we don't go back to that drawing board, then some serious things start to happen. Bobby doesn't learn his times tables. Now, some people might say, well, so what? You know, he's learning social studies and reading and everything else. But I'm sure you can sit there and think, well, what happens if a kid goes through school and doesn't know how to multiply? It's just going to clog up the rest of his whole math career. He's not going to be able to perceive, what's he going to do with multiplying fractions or decimals? Or what happens when he gets older and he needs to multiply things at work or whatever? It's just going to clog up and limit his whole career in math and probably spread out to other areas of his life that it's going to mess him up in. So when we see a problem, we need to identify it and we need to go back to the drawing board and get it worked out. Now, as parents, you have been concerned about your kids before in school, I'm sure. And I'm sure even now, you have older kids, you're still concerned about them and what they do and how they do. Of course, now if you have older kids, you don't have as much say-so as you did when they were knee-high to a grasshopper, but you're still concerned about them. Now, if you're concerned, as I think in Matthew it deals with Scripture, you know, if your father on earth will treat you nice, how much more nicer will your Father in heaven treat you? If your parents are concerned about your children now, just think how much more God is concerned about you and how you do. We are His children. I'd like to look up some scripture here. The first one, again, I'd like to read to you. This one may be familiar. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God. You are not your own. You were bought for a price, purchased with the precious and paid and preciousness and paid for by His own. So then honor God and bring Him glory in your body. For His children, then we're His. Another scripture, Psalms 95, verse 7. Psalms 95, verse 7. It says, "For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will, hear His voice." We're the people of His pasture. We're the sheep of His hand. Okay, we're His. He's very concerned about us and how we do. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Should have told you that, and you could have kept your finger in the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5:20. So we are Christ's ambassadors, God making His appeal, as it were, through us. We, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you, for His sake, to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. Not only is He concerned because we're His, but we're also His ambassadors. When people see your child, they also see you. They represent you. They may not be the same as you are, but they represent you. As children of God, as born-again Christian people, we represent God. One more scripture here before we go on. Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10. Says, "For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God has predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which He had prearranged and made ready for us to live." Again, the word states that we are His handiwork, we're His workmanship. When God, when people see us, we're God's people, they're seeing God's workmanship. So therefore, obviously, He's very concerned that when He sees each one of you, if you're a believer in Christ, that He's concerned, how am I representing Him? I'm His ambassador, I'm His workmanship. You're like a man that would go to an inventor's fair and would have an invention. Somebody come over to see how that invention would work. Obviously, He's concerned that it's going to work out right. He doesn't want it to almost work out right and then explain to the person, well, it works right most of the time, but not all the time. He wants that to work out just right. God wants us to show as His workmanship. And He was willing to die for us, and He's also willing to work with us, as we'll read some scripture later. So as we think about with the child, when we see that there's something that he's not getting for whatever reason, now sometimes that child, maybe somewhere along the line he missed it. Maybe he just never learned his timetables. But at the same time, it may be possible that he learned how to do that, but he's not applying what he had learned. So we can have a couple different situations there. So as we look into our spiritual life now, let's kind of center in on that more. Let's center in more of us. Let's kind of forget Bobby for a little bit and center in on us. God is concerned about us. And as we read and study His Word, He tells us to do different things. He commands us. Love your neighbor, so on. Now if He tells us that, You get three guesses and the first two don't count. What does he want us to do with that? He wants us to love one another. Now, as we look at that, we see that, and there's thousands of other things in the Word that he tells us to do. If we look at that and we see that we're not doing that, something's wrong. We have to head back to the drawing board, back to him. Now, like I said, it's not easy. Don't get confused just because we read something here and all of a sudden, just like that, we're all of a sudden going to love everybody. That's where we're headed to. If he says that, we're his child, we're his workmanship, we're his ambassadors. If he says that, he's provided the means for us to be able to do that. So we need to be headed in that direction. If those things that we read, he tells us, and they linger on and on in our lives, he says, love one another, and you struggle for years and years and years with not being able to love people, folks, something's wrong somewhere. You need to go back to the drawing board. That's the principle that we want to key in on. When you see something's not right, just like you do at home, in the industry, if you're in the shop, the guys in the shop, they look, they say, this is just not going to work. They send it back to the engineer. Tell him, this hole can't go here. Well, he looks at it, and they fiddle around, and he sends it back out to the shop. And they keep that up until all of a sudden they have the product that they want and they ship it off. So as we see those things, again, a key here is the fact that we look for those things. You know, we're actually looking for those. I can go through school all day long and kind of just be oblivious to everything and not really look to see how Bobby's doing. Or really look to see how Amy or Vicky or Jenny or Mark or whoever. You know, I can kind of, they did all right. But we need to zero in on that. In our relationship with God, we need to zero in on that. And when we see things that aren't working as they ought to, then we need to go back to the drawing board. Okay, I have a couple more scriptures. One, it's 2 Timothy 2:15. I'm trying to refer to that twice, but we'll read it one time. Second Timothy 2:15 says, study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. So it comes in that as we go back to the drawing board, we need to get back in with God, study his word. Now, I may have just been this way. I don't know, maybe some of your kids out here have done this. My mother, when I was younger, would say, in fact, she still tells me, go clean my room up. And sometimes, you know, I'd march off, go to my room, throw a couple things underneath the bed, you know, and I'd come back out. As soon as I get back out, she'd look. Sometimes she'd just look at her clock and know I couldn't clean the room up, and she'd say, back into the room again. When we go back to the drawing board, folks, it's not just to sit there. Sometimes at school, I have kids, and I'll say, go finish this project. They go back, and they just stare out the window. 5 minutes later, they think, well, Mr. Williams is up there. He's working on papers. I'll just go back up. They slide me the paper. I take a glance at it. I said, go back and finish the project. And sometimes we'll go through that a whole recess period. So folks, it's not just enough to say, well, geez, there's something wrong. Let's go back to the drawing board, but we have to go back to the drawing board and get down and look and see what's wrong. Okay? Now, as we talked about it, he says for us to love one another. He wants us to do that. As we spend that time with him, we begin to understand that we are to be obedient to him. Why? Because we're his. The little kid and the father says, do that. The little child responds because that's his father, and the father told him to do that, so he does that in most cases. in us just like that. Our Father, through the Word, tells us to love one another. What are we to do? Love one another. And hopefully we do that. But if we see that we struggle with that, then we need to go back to the drawing board. Now, the same way we said, now, if Bobby doesn't learn his times tables, what's going to happen? It's going to start to clog up his educational life. As he moves on, he's going to be limited. Well, just guess what's going to happen in our spiritual lives, that as we grow, there are areas that linger and linger that God has told us to do. He instructs us to do, to love one another, be hospitable to the people of the, you know, of the Christian faith, and so on and so on. And we don't do those things, our lives are going to, our spiritual lives are going to start to get clogged up and become limited. And then we go back to the Father who is concerned about us and doesn't want our lives to be limited. He wants us to be all that we can be. So we have to be able to tune into Him. Now, let's look up one more scripture here. The one was 2 Timothy 2:15 again, that we need to study His Word, but we also need to examine ourselves. This is in 2 Corinthians 13:5. 2 Corinthians 13:5. And as we read this, think back, something's wrong somewhere in our lives, we go back to the drawing board. We don't just go back there to kill time, we go back there to try to work out the problem. We need to study it. In this case, we need to study His Word. How do I get that applied in my life? And here's something else that we need to do, and that's examine ourselves while we're there. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine and test and evaluate your own selves to see whether you are holding to your faith and showing the proper fruits of it. Test and prove yourselves, not Christ. Do you not yourselves realize and know thoroughly by an ever-increasing experience that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you are counterfeits, disapproved, on trial, and rejected? So He's telling us to examine ourselves. Examine ourselves, evaluate yourselves, see how you're holding up to the faith. This is what God says in His Word here. Well, how do you know that? Because you're back at the drawing board and you're studying it. And you examine yourself. And then you have to start matching things up. Geez, you know, He tells us to love one another. Well, I do, most people. Well, wait a second. Does that match up with what He says? If it doesn't, we need to keep digging. Find out what's wrong. Is there something else we need to learn yet? Or is there something that we've learned that we need to apply? We have to keep digging. Okay, we need to prove ourselves to show that that faith isn't live. You know, like it says in this scripture here, don't we know that Jesus is at work within us? We're His children just by every experience. You know, there was at one time, you know, that there's a verse that says, you know, if you have something against a brother or somebody else, you know, when you go to pray, before you pray, go take care of that. Well, I read that several times and heard it lots of times. But one of the times back at the drawing board, one of those times when I was trying to stare out the window and the Spirit was saying, study here, you know, read this, examine yourself, you know, do you have anything against anybody? And of course I said, no, I don't. But the longer I sat there, pretty soon there's a couple people popped up in my mind that, well, I guess, you know, I thought, well, no, I really don't have any. The Spirit says, no, well, think about this. Examine yourself a little bit more. And I did. And I thought, well, I guess if I think about it real hard, that kind of, they kind of classify in an area that I'm kind of got something back in there that I'm not happy with those people, and I've been, you know, leaving that hang around there. Now, of course, I talked to the Lord several times hoping, well, maybe I can get out of this somehow. But he says, no, this is what my word says. You're my child. You're my workmanship. I'm concerned how you do. And so it eventually led to the point where I talked to two of those people, and I wrote a letter to one of the other people. And in fact, I don't think they even had any idea that I had ever thought anything badly about them at all. It's not necessarily easy, but it's a process that as a Christian, we need to, as we run into things that don't match up with God's Word in our life, we need to study, we need to examine ourselves, and go back to that drawing board, and then come back out of there and put these things into use and practice in our lives. And one more scripture here before I close. It looks like we're going to make it a couple minutes early here. This is in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. I think this is a key verse here, because as we go back to the drawing board, you're not going back alone. God, who is so concerned how you do, is going to be there, not just as a monitor watching over you, but as somebody that's willing to help you. Just like at school, if I have a kid stay in at recess, guess who else stays in? I don't go outside and play football with the kids, where I'd like to be out there. But I have to be in there too. If I'm making him stay in to do better and to catch up on something, and he couldn't get it the first time, wouldn't make much sense for me to have him stay in by himself and me go out and do something else. If he didn't know it the first time, how's he going to know it the second time without any help? Likewise, if we have trouble with something that we're having trouble getting applied in our life, or something that we're kind of just juggling around and we don't quite understand yet what God means by this, and we're working on it, wouldn't make much sense for God just to stick us in a corner and says, now you learn that, and I'll be back when you do. Wouldn't make much sense at all. And he doesn't do that. He's willing to help us. Let's read Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, and I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Christ, Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. Now that should be a real encouragement to us. One, I don't think it's easy for hardly anybody to even come up with the idea that you're wrong, or something that you did didn't work out right. But that happens daily in our lives, our jobs. And we need to get in the habit of going back to the drawing board. And we need to go back with the idea that we're going to study and examine ourselves. And also with the encouragement that Jesus is there, willing, more than able, to help us to get those things centered in our lives. So that when we come back from that drawing board, we're ready to accomplish or apply that thing in our lives and move on to bigger and better things that God has for us. So I challenge you to look at his word, look at your life. If there's a mismatch, get back to the drawing board. Study, examine yourself with the Lord. He's there waiting for you. So that we, as God's people, can be all God wants us to be. That we can be servants that are obedient and useful to the Master's use. And that's what he wants for us. So that we can not only touch one another, but we can touch this community, the county, the state, the world, that we can be just like a pebble in a pond as God's people at work. It just spreads out to where it encompasses, to where we're actually at his great commission, and we're actually reaching the world starting from this point of your own self. Let's pray. Father, we just thank and praise you for your word, and we just pray that this principle, Father, will stick into our hearts and it will grow. And Lord, that as we'll study and examine ourselves before you. That, Lord, and if you see things in there, show us those things, Father, that we need to work on. And we just pray that we'll go back to that drawing board, Father, and spend that time with you, that we may come out, Lord, successful and victorious and ready to move on, being fit for the Master's use, to reach, to love others and to reach the lost. We just pray that Satan would be bound to many hindrance, Father, and we just pray that your Spirit will rule and reign in our hearts and our lives. Again, we thank you for this opportunity to share.